Welcome to the TEFL Training Institute podcast, the bite-sized TEFL podcast for teachers, trainers, and managers.
Hi everyone, welcome back to the podcast. This week we have Mark Hancock, author of Pronunciation Games, English Pronunciation in Use, and most recently Prawn Pack, joining us. And Mark is going to tell us about how to help students understand connected speech. Enjoy the interview. Hi Mark, thanks for joining us. To start off with, what is connected speech and what makes it difficult for students? And is there ever a time in when we speak English where we're not using connected speech?
Well, if you imagine an old-fashioned robot, like saying, salt and pepper, I want the salt and pepper. That's English with no connected speech about it. Each word is separate, like as if it were the dictionary version of the word. So salt and pepper, let's use that as an example. Salt and pepper. We've got the T of salt appears to join the and. Salt and pepper, tum pepper, tum pepper, salt and pepper. That's called linking. You've got the A of the and is reduced to a weak vowel, and salt and pepper. So that's called a weak form. Then you've got the D of and disappears. That's called elision. So instead of and, you've got n. And then finally, the N of and changes into something like an M because of the P in pepper involves the lips being closed together. And in preparation for that, when the mouth is saying N, it tends to want to say M so that it's ready for the pepper that comes later. And that's called assimilation. So those are all examples of connected speech. As you can probably tell, that they're all features for the benefit of the mouth, like the N changing to M is not so that I'm going to be more intelligible to you. It's so it's easier for me to say it. So these features of connected speech are about streamlining the articulation.
So obviously there's lots of things there that are really hard for students in terms of listening to connected speech. And I think often when we do listening activities in class, the way we run them maybe doesn't actually help students very much, right?
Yeah, it's interesting that in teaching listening, teachers often assume that the problem is going to be with difficult vocabulary or difficult grammar. And they pre-teach the new vocabulary in the listening, and then they focus on listening comprehension questions. And if the students get them wrong, just play the audio again and say, no, listen again. Do you hear it now? And if the student goes, no, I don't hear it still, there's nothing to be done about it. What the teacher is missing here is that the problem wasn't with the long words. The problem was with the short words or the common words that the student is not familiar with in the connected speech form. For example, in connected speech, there are five words which may be reduced to homophones, like the word a, her. Well, I can't think right now, but there's a lot of different words that end up sounding exactly the same. And if the student is expecting them to sound the way that they sound in the dictionary or said separately, then they're not going to be ready for that. What they're not ready for is the way that the words blend together. And so what we can do, I think, is devote some class time to focusing specifically on the way that words blend together in connected speech, for the purpose of making the students better equipped as listeners.
So is part of the problem there, Mark, that when we teach new words or phrases, we tend to drill them in a way that sounds a bit more like Robbie the Robot saying salt and pepper, rather than saying salt and pepper?
I think your student is probably going to store it in their memory in something like a dictionary citation form. And you're saying that might be a problem because when they hear it in the flow of speech, it might not have that form. I think you could probably do it in two stages. In the first stage, they would learn it as a separate form in the case of a word like salt. And then in a separate stage, learn how it sounds in a joined up way. I think it might be a bit much to do it all at once. However, with other words which are typically reduced, like and. I probably wouldn't teach the word and in a citation form because it's never cited on its own. It's always in the flow of speech. So it depends on the word, really. Another example for a longer word would be actually. Actually is rarely, if ever, pronounced the way I just did it then. It's something like a discourse marker, and it can be heavily reduced to things like achi or in the flow of speech. Well, it's actually very easy. It's actually quite a good idea. It's actually, some words are more reduced than others, and actually is one of them, because it's not used in its literal meaning necessarily. It's used something more like a discourse marker. So you would need to make students aware of the way that words like that tend to be severely reduced.
And I guess also it's difficult for teachers to know how these words are actually pronounced in connected speech because dictionaries don't actually have this information in them. And there's also sort of no kind of pronunciation equivalent of a corpus to see how language is actually pronounced in real speech.
Well, it's difficult to find out. And in fact, it's not really been dealt with systematically before until now. We have the work of Richard Caldwell. He has started to work trying to systematically focus on the way in which words are eroded in connected speech. They're much more eroded than following the rules that I just mentioned before about linking and weak forms and assimilation, elision. Those are relatively minor compared to some of the forms of the words are reduced in natural fast speech, and he has started to work on systematizing our understanding of the ways that these words are reduced. So yeah, you're right, this material is not easily available, and in fact it hasn't been seen as a need, anything that was needed before. People haven't really been aware of it. I guess the people who speak the language aren't really aware of it, because we don't hear objectively. We hear what we expect to hear. So when people hear something like achi, the mind fills in the gaps, so it sounds like they're hearing actually. So they're not aware that it could be problematic for the non-native listener. It is problematic for the non-native listener, of course, because what the evidence they're getting through their ears is much reduced. They probably think it's their own fault for not having good hearing, whereas in fact, it's the speaker who is reducing it that way.
So what can teachers do then, Mark, to help raise students' awareness of connected speech so that they can understand more when they're listening to authentic audio?
Well, although the purpose of this is for listening, as I've said, I do think the best way of raising awareness of these features for listening purposes is through getting students to try to say them, articulate them that way themselves. So I use various kinds of drilling, choral drilling or individual drilling, to get the students saying these pieces of connected speech so that they become hyper aware of the way that they sound, because there's nothing more awareness raising than attempting to do it yourself. So you can take a short phrase like salt and pepper again, salt and pepper, salt and pepper. If you repeat multiple times that very short section, or even shorter sections, you can let's try it. I'll go tum pepper, 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 tum pepper. I've taken a part of that phrase, not necessarily complete word. I've taken the T out of salt and added it to the rest of the and pepper, and I put it on a loop, repeating it. And if you do that, put it on a kind of loop, it makes it sound weird, because it stops sounding like the meaning of it and starts just sounding like a piece of sound. And it helps, I think, the listener to perceive the way it sounds rather than the way they expect it to sound. So I use quite a lot this kind of micro loop with multiple repetitions of a very short segment, getting students to try saying it that way themselves. And it's quite good fun. But I think it really raises their awareness of connective speech as well. So that's a technique, micro drilling.
And you've obviously written whole books on activities for students to practice pronunciation. What are some other activities that you like to do to help students become more aware of connected speech?
So an activity that I use for drilling to focus the students' attention on features of connected speech is something I call bricks and mortar. And that's a metaphor. The bricks are the content words and the mortar are the grammar or functional words that go between the bricks and tend to be crushed and misshapen. In order to take the attention off the content words, I've just replaced content words with numbers. So I say the 1, 2, 3, 4 with the different segments of connected speechy stuff in between and get the students to listen and then try to produce, for example, 1 or a 2 or a 3 or a 4, 1 and a 2 and a 3 and a 4, 1 and a 2 and a 3 and a 4. That's the easier level. Getting more difficult, things like 1 has been 2 has been 3 has been 4, 1 must be 2 must be 3 must be 4, 1 could be 2 could be 3 could be 4. And then students would have to notice things like the T in must tends to be inaudible or elided, the cut dropped, or the D in could will sound like a B, could be, 1 could be 2, that kind of thing. So that's a very simple activity. Easy to invent your own version of it. Just have 1, 2, 3, 4 and any segment between that you think might be tricky for the students listening. And you can drill it in that way, you saying the phrase and then them repeating. So that's a simple activity to focus the students' attention, not on the content words, but on the function words that go between them.
And finally, Mark, when do you integrate pronunciation activities into a class? Like for you, where do you put them in a lesson plan or in your stages of a lesson?
Yeah, that's interesting because I just finished a intensive month at the school here in Chester where I live, doing a full-time summer program. And we have to go through the course books. So, and the course books tend to have very little space left over for pronunciation, as you may have noticed. So what I found was really interesting was to flip the presentation phase of the lesson. So let's say there was the main point of the lesson was some grammar construction. Then afterwards, there would be some example sentences pulled out and there might be listen and repeat for pronunciation right at the end. I have took them out at the beginning and wrote them on the board, these example sentences, before we'd even analysed the grammar or anything. And I did some of this pronunciation work, doing these looped repetitions, this drilling work, focusing on the pronunciation of those 3 or 4 example sentences very thoroughly and getting the students completely familiar with them before they'd studied the grammar. And then when you kick into the lesson, those are already three-dimensional pieces of language. They've already got a mental trace of how it sounds. And so when they come to study the grammar, as in the course book, they're already old friends. It seems so natural to do it that way around. So I think, flipping the presentation, instead of leaving the pronunciation to an afterthought, put it right at the beginning and bring the language alive, make it three-dimensional for the student before you get into the more cerebral grammar exploitation of the language.
So once again, everyone, that was Mark Hancock. If you'd like to find out more about Mark, check out his website, hancockmcdonald.com, and also pronpack.com. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time. Goodbye.
For more podcasts, videos, and blogs, visit our website, www.tefltraininginstitute.com.
If you've got a question or a topic you'd like us to discuss, leave us a comment.
And if you want to keep up to date with our latest content, add us on WeChat at TEFL Training Institute.
If you enjoyed our podcast, please rate us on iTunes.